his name became even more well known. You see, he had already been identified as a talented player. As people watched him and observed the way he participated in the game and was beginning to do great things in his career. But even those who didn't follow football probably heard his name sometime last fall, soon after his heroic performance in the game against Michigan State, despite having allegedly lost both his grandmother and his girlfriend within 24 hours. Probably most of you know the story. A little digging by an internet news source began to reveal that something wasn't quite right about this story. In fact, they discovered that Teo's girlfriend was not deceased, but rather non-existent. You know, details began to come out, and it became apparent that at some point, at least, he knew the truth and refused to reveal it. So responses from media and from popular culture ran the gamut. They ranged everything from anger, because they had been duped by this false story, all the way to sympathy. Feeling sorry for a young man who had been the victim of a cruel lie. Regardless of all the details and all of what happened in his story, here's a young man who found himself stuck in a lie that he could not escape from and still maintain any measure of respect. Many people resonated with this story, I think, because he is us. I think many people looked at this young man and saw themselves. Stories like this are very common. Of people telling little untruths. It's just that most of us aren't enough in the public spotlight that our untruths come home to roost in quite this profound a fashion. In the culture we live in, dishonesty is all too common. We are, though, to be truthful. Not just because it helps us out or it's a good thing in dealing with others. We are to be truthful. Remember, we've said that all of the Ten Commandments come back to who God is in His character. You see, we're most of all to be truthful people because we serve a God of truth. John 8 tells us that Satan is the father of lies. But we serve a God of truth. We sang, or we read rather, for our call to worship in Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. You see, truth is not just something that God expresses. It's not just something that he does. He does not just simply tell the truth. It is who God is. When Christ identified himself in John 14, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Christ was not just a teller of truth, but he was in his very essence truth expressed. And so because God is supreme truth this morning, we are commanded to be honest people. And I want us this morning to frame our thinking around a little phrase that is part of our legal system. When someone goes to testify in court, they're put up on the witness stand, they're asked to put their hand, in most places, asked to put their hand on a Bible and raise their hand, and they say, "Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?" This morning, we want to consider that because God is supreme truth, that you and I must tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So because God is truth, we must first of all tell the truth. And that's, of course, apparent, I think, as we consider this ninth commandment. The phrase that we read is to not bear false witness. Now, this is a judicial reference. The idea in play here is do not give a false testimony in court. So a courtroom scene is pictured when we read this command. But is that all of that is encompassed by the ninth commandment? Is there more to it? Scripture, of course, is the best commentary on Scripture. We learn, we understand Scripture by looking at other Scriptures. So Hosea, the prophet, under inspiration of God, is indicting the people of Israel for violating these Ten Commandments that we've been discussing. And he lists several of them. He says, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing, commit adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Now, interestingly, Hosea lists several of the Ten Commandments. That's clearly what he's doing here. And he uses a much broader term that is translated in our English Bibles as lying. God is intending much more than just the courtroom scene when he gives us the ninth commandment. He is forbidding untruth. He is forbidding lying. We are to tell the truth. We see this, of course, numerous places in Scripture. Proverbs 25 tells us a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. New Testament believers are told that to be consistent with their profession of Christ, they are to tell the truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, we're told, let every one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We live in a society that is perpetually lying. Shading the truth, we call it. White lies, we call it. But is perpetually lying. So much so that we have the greatest lie of all that permeates our society. The lie is called in academic circles postmodernism. Postmodernism is the idea simply that there is no absolute truth, or at minimum, absolute truth cannot be known. You see, the greatest lie of all is that there is no truth. And out of all of the external commands, I would say that probably the ninth commandment is the most commonly violated amongst the ten. You may disagree with me on that, and that's fine, but just kind of as I think through the external commands that are given in the Ten Commandments, I think that perhaps this is the one that we are most guilty of in our society. A few years ago, the Gillette company, I like Gillette razors, they're good razors. Somebody asked me, I was getting my hair cut, and the girls cut my hair, is like, you actually still use an old, like a regular razor? I'm like, yeah. It's like, I don't know any guys that do that anymore. I'm like, yeah, those electric things burn me up. I can't do those. Yeah, I use the, and I shave in the shower, you know, so I get all the whiskers out. I get a good close shave with my Gillette Mach 3. Well, the Gillette company was sued several years ago. And the outcome of it was that the court ordered Gillette to stop making certain claims about their lift and cut shaving system, which doesn't lift anything. So the company's statement was, the claim is that it lifts hair away from the skin before cutting it, but there's no lifting involved. And the company's public statement was that these claims were never meant to be taken literally. How often do we kind of fudge on the truth to make ourselves look better? It seems like perhaps the most common motive for us telling an untruth is to make ourselves look better. It's rooted in pride. We tell stories that make us the hero. We said that we said certain things when really we meant to say certain things. We said that we read something when in actuality we heard it. Or we say that we shot that winning basket at the state high school tournament when in fact we really assisted. We exaggerate our accomplishments and we accentuate the failure of others. We leave out little details that would put us in a bad light. I think by far the most common motivation for our lying is our own pride. And so it's no surprise to me that when we look at Proverbs 6 and we see the seven things that the Lord hates, the first two are a proud look and a lying tongue. They go together. George O'Leary had the job of his lifetime, finally, in December of 2001. He had been hired as the head football coach of the University of Notre Dame. Sounds like we're picking on the University of Notre Dame football program here this morning. I didn't mean to do that, but so he had the job that he had always dreamed of. He was the head football coach at Notre Dame. He had arrived at the pinnacle of his career. And his first day on the job was going great until he got a call from the information director of the college. Seems that a reporter had been trying to track down some of his former teammates. And no one seemed to remember him from his football days in college. Eventually, O'Leary was forced to admit that, in fact, he had not lettered for 3 years at the University of New Hampshire. But when he had been trying to get a job at Syracuse University 21 years earlier, he felt like he needed to dress up his resume. And so his little white lie cost him his job, his career, his reputation. His brother was interviewed by Sports Illustrated, and his brother said this: "Is anyone trying to tell me that resumes are truthful? In the America we live in, the willingness to lie on a resume is an indication of how much you really want the job." In fact, we're told, according to a study, that half of all resumes contain one or more falsehoods. One of the most serious indictments of lying in Scripture is those who misrepresent what God has said. Romans 1 in verse 25 says that there are those who exchange the truth of God for a lie, and they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I need to announce to you this morning that religions lie. In fact, let me say it a bit more strongly. Some religions are a lie. Not all who profess to speak on God's behalf really do. It's kind of like the internet. A few years ago, I was having a conversation with someone who had all of these conceptions about what Baptists were. And she began to tell me all these things that were true about Baptists. Now, I've been in a Baptist church almost my whole life, and there were some things that she was saying that I had never heard of before. So where did you get this stuff? Oh, I read it on the internet. I said, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Really? Just because someone professes to speak for God doesn't mean that you believe it. You need to go to the source of authority. You need to go to what God has said and compare with what God has said. This is His revealed word. And we constantly need to be people who are vigilant about seeking the truth. Religions will say things about God that He has not said about Himself. Maybe this morning you're a religious person, but you're struggling with finding the truth. Maybe this morning you've even searched through various religions and you cannot find the truth. Pilate asks Jesus a question in John 18. He asks him, "What is truth?" Maybe you're asking that question this morning. Where is truth? Well, the truth itself is not in a religion per se, so much as it is in God's word. Pastor Olt reminded us of this verse a few minutes ago. In John 17, Christ says, and as he prays over his disciples, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Today you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If someone has told you that you can give to a church financially, or you can be baptized into a certain denomination, or you can do a certain sacrament, and by doing these things, you will earn your way to heaven. I don't wish to be unkind, my friend, but you've been lied to. That is not what God says. God says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And in case we missed that, it's repeated, not of works. Listen this morning to the truth of God, not a man's word about God. You cannot approach God on your own. You cannot earn his favor with something that you do. But the vast majority of religious teaching is trying to teach people how to attempt to do something to earn God's favor. My friend, this morning, the way that we earn God's favor is not through ourselves. It is by throwing ourselves on the mercy of Jesus Christ, the only one who is worthy to receive God's favor. The one who has taken upon himself the condemnation that we deserved. You see, the good news of the gospel is not you can do it. The good news of the gospel is it has been done for you. And the invitation to the gospel is, will you come to him in repentance and faith? Are you willing this morning to turn from yourself, your sin, your self-dependence, and to rely completely on Jesus Christ? That is the truth that will set you free this morning. Because God is truth, we must not only tell the truth, but we must tell the whole truth. So here's the question. Is it lying to withhold information? And the answer is that in some cases, yes. In many cases, it is. When we intentionally present information in such a way as to mislead people, then we've lied to them. Sometimes you can do that by staying silent, but more often we do it by presenting partial information. Do you know what I mean? Right? So your kid comes in from the backyard and you say to your young person, where have you been? And he says, in the backyard. Through which he went on the way to the Jiffy store, but didn't tell you that part, right? Did he lie? Most of you are going to punish him for lying if you find out, right? Why? Because he has strategically presented information in such a way as to lead you to error, to what is untrue. He's lied by deleting information in a strategic manner, right? And now, of course, that's intentional. Now, when we do it, we do this in conversation all the time by accident. But when we intentionally do this, when we lead people to the wrong conclusion on purpose, we've lied to them. We are to tell the whole truth. It's interesting that in the Old Testament code, it says in Leviticus 5, if a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath, notice, please, he's saying that this is a sin. What he's about to describe is a sin. In hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness whether he has seen it or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. So in other words, if a Jew under the Mosaic law is witness to a crime, to something that is a violation of the law, and then there is a trial, and he does not come forward with his testimony, that potential witness would have been punished as the criminal would have been, because he refused to tell the truth and the whole truth. There are times that we have a responsibility to provide information. In other words, there are people who are entitled to certain information. So there's certain information that your spouse is entitled to. Certain information that your parents are entitled to, or your authority figures are entitled to, or those with whom you do business. And when you withhold information to whom it is due, you've been dishonest with them. Now, that doesn't mean you have to say everything. We'll get to that in just a minute. But when you withhold information to deceive someone, you don't tell them what they ought to know, we've been dishonest. Will Rogers, the comedian, said that the income tax has made more liars out of the American people than golf has. So just some very practical applications, kind of some societal things. When we think about telling the whole truth, this would condemn, for example, attorneys who are disclosing only partial information to a judge. This would indict journalists or politicians who spin information to move forward their political agenda. This would include preachers who fail to preach the whole counsel of God by avoiding certain topics that are needful for their congregation's spiritual benefit. This would indict the high-pressure salesman who only tells his clients of the benefits of a certain product and withholds relevant information to their decision, like the transmission needs to be rebuilt within the next 10 miles. This would indict scholars who authoritatively present their theories as if they're fact, knowing that people will believe them because they have education, because they have reputation, because they have a bunch of letters behind their name. By the way, the term for this is intellectual dishonesty. You've probably heard before. That is not being fair or objective or honest with all of the facts. Whether it's because they don't care to confirm their facts or they're obscuring the facts that they know. You see, God lays this down in the lives of his people in the Mosaic Code because this is necessary. The expectation of honesty is requisite for a properly functioning society. And the more dishonest a society becomes, the less people can trust one another, and the more dysfunctional the society then becomes. And you can see this illustrated in pretty much any society, ours included. But let's face it. We should expect our fellow man to be honest on the whole, and we need that for a functioning society. But let's be truthful. We should also expect a certain level of dishonesty amongst the children of this world. What is embarrassing is when God's people are guilty of the same. I'm ashamed to tell you that there is great dishonesty filling our churches in many ways. And it starts in the pulpit. There are preachers who refuse to look honestly at Scripture or relevant facts because it doesn't fit into their agenda. There are many debates that swirl in the Christian world. And the attitude seems to be, they don't say it this way, but the attitude seems to be, I've already made up my mind, don't confuse me with the facts. And too many preachers are guilty of this. To misrepresent something in order to win an argument is dishonest. Even if what you're arguing for is right. One person has said it this way, every man has the right to his opinions, but no one has a right to be wrong about his facts. I want to quickly kind of take a excursion, sidebar, go off topic for a minute here. It's relevant. And it actually came up as a point of discussion in one of our home groups a few weeks ago. And that is kind of an ethical dilemma that we see presented in Scripture. I did my second graduate degree, I did a paper on this very topic. So it's something that kind of intrigues me. And we're kind of going from the micro level to you and I to the macro level, the society as a whole. The ethical question is this. Is it ever acceptable to intentionally tell an untruth to someone? You say, well, of course not. Well, now think about it for just a moment. There does appear to be certain instances in Scripture where we see something unusual going on. Let me give you some examples. Rahab lied about the presence of the spies. She was commended for hiding the spies and held up by the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 11:30 as a hero of the faith. Now, we'll concede that it does not say in that passage specifically a commendation for her lie, but she was commended for hiding the spies. Another example. The Hebrew midwives defied Pharaoh's order to kill all the male babies. You remember this in Exodus? When asked why by Pharaoh, they made up an excuse that was completely untrue. The Bible explains their lie and then says this in Exodus 1:20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. Third example. Gideon used concealment and intentionally deceived the Midianites into thinking they had a larger army than they did. In 1 Samuel 21, David feigned madness. He pretended like he was a madman. And the Scripture does not commend him for it, but it also does not condemn him for it. For Samuel 16, this is the most explicit one, the one that's the hardest to answer ethically. For Samuel 16:2 shows God telling Samuel to tell Saul something that was really only a half-truth. Samuel's going to anoint the new king, and he's fearful of Saul, the sitting king. He says, God, you want me to do this, but what if Saul asks, where am I going? He says, well, God says, well, take a bull, and if he asks, tell him you're going to sacrifice. Half-truth. God told him to say that. So what do you do with that? Does that like completely unsettle you from everything that you've believed? What do you do with those situations? What do all these accounts have in common? That was the topic of my paper. So do you want me to tell you or do you want me to just leave you hanging? Here's the conclusion I came to. In every one of these, there were certain very specific extenuating circumstances. In these situations, the higher ethical obligation to life comes into play. Because every one of these is a use of deceit in war or a warlike situation in which life was at stake. Did you get all that? Is war or warlike situation in which life is at stake. Let me be clear. This does not justify lying to make yourself look better. Lying to get yourself a job. It does not give you a blank check to tell half-truths. You say, so why do you tell us this? Because there is a societal implication. Right? We went from down here to great big. What might be the implication? Let me give you some examples. Covert military operations, right? I don't want the federal government being honest with South Korea. And neither do you, right? Well, we're just honest people. We just want to tell you about our military arsenal, right? No. Espionage. Undercover police work. Okay? So there are some things that, you know, right? I went from just like the don't lie stuff to like this deep ethical thinking all through society. So maybe that you have no interest in that. But if you're in military or law enforcement, some of these things are going to come up. Well, how can you be a Christian and be involved in, I'm doing it for the preservation of life. And by the way, South Korea is not entitled to the truth. Just since that's who we're kind of tense with right now, I use them as an illustration. North Korea, sorry. Yeah, hopefully things are good to South Korea. North Korea, sorry about that. All right, so just kind of that was our excursion for the day. And you can think about that some more and let me know if you think my theory holds water. But we ought to be people who tell the truth. I mean, let's face it, most of us are probably never in our lifetime going to come to a situation like that. We're probably never going to face the necessity to preserve one's life by not presenting all of the information. So in the normal day-to-day course of life, we are expected to interact with one another in a truthful way where we not only tell the truth, but we tell the whole truth. And let me also say that, quote unquote, telling the truth is not an excuse for unbiblical speech. Right? A lot of people like to use honesty as a guise for saying things that they ought not to say. Right? Well, I just call a spade a spade. I just call them like I see them. You ever heard that? I'm just an honest person. I'm just saying. I'm just an honest person. I'm sorry, but honesty does not give you the excuse to say everything. In fact, the book of Proverbs has a word for someone who speaks everything that's on his mind, right? A fool vents all his feelings. The old King James put it this way, utters all his mind. That's a fool. When the mouth is always engaged and everything that happens here, that's a fool, right? So don't say things you ought not to say. Say things that are unkind. Say things that are blunt unnecessarily. Gossip about others and then just say, oh, well, I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you, I'm just an honest person. No, you're not. You're a fool. That's what Proverbs says. All right. So don't take honesty as an excuse for saying everything that's unbiblical. So because God is truth, we must tell the truth. We must tell the whole truth. And lastly, we must tell nothing but the truth. This is an obvious intent of this commandment. Don't lie. That is, don't give information that is untrue. A couple definitions that scholars have offered of a lie. First, it is essentially a lie is a statement of what is known to be false with intent to deceive. Or it is a statement used with the intention of deceiving or defrauding. Not only the spoken word, but also an action. You realize that shortchanging people is a billion-dollar industry? The National Observer notes that short weighing on food, gasoline, and home fuel oil and other packaged hardware items cost the Americans some $6 to $12 billion per year. Whether it's accidental or intentional, states are beginning to spot check weights and measurements. And so a Pennsylvania investigation discovered that 15.5% of all prepackaged food that were checked were short-weighted. Some stores had as much as a 25% weight shortage from the marked weight on the package. There was an investigation in Kansas that turned up evidence that 30% of all meat packaged in 11 stores were short-weighted, right? In Arkansas, officials checked 1 pound cans of vegetable to find that none of them contained 16 ounces. In Tennessee, officials found prepackaged pork chops that were short-weighted by up to 31 cents. Officials in their investigations have tabulated 48 ways to cheat in weighing meat in front of customers. And apparently some markets are using them. But what about us? Do we tell the whole truth? Do we only tell the truth? Young people, have you lied to your teacher? When you get to that question on your exam that says, did you do all the reading? And you say, yes. Were you telling the truth? Have you lied to your parents, telling them you were such and such a place when you really weren't? On the other hand, parents lie to their children, too. They say, I'll do this for you, when they never have any intention of actually fulfilling that promise. I'm not talking about things coming up unexpectedly. We tell them things that we know we're not going to do. To be totally frank with you, I fail to understand why Christian parents would teach their children about honesty and then turn around and tell them a grand story about a jolly old man in a red suit who comes down the chimney on Christmas Eve to give them presents. Now, you may say, preacher, you're going a little too far. You've gone from preaching to meddling. Maybe. All right. I just don't understand that. You say, now, preacher, it's just a joke. It's just for fun. In Proverbs, we're told that there is the one who does that. A madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and then says, I was just joking. Now, if it's a joke, then let it be a joke. Let it be for fun. We talk about Santa Claus at our house. But you ask my, well, the little one, not, but you ask Joanna. It's for fun. It's something we joke about. They know who brings presents. All right, I'll dismount that before I get in too much more trouble. Have you lied to your employer? Told them, hey, the project's done. When you know you probably have another hour or two of work to do on it. Giving times that aren't accurate. Turning in reports which contain known inaccuracies. Billing for products or services that weren't delivered. So let me ask you this morning, and let me ask me this morning, are you a liar? Am I a liar? If you told a lie within the last month, within the last week, today. The hardest truth is the one to tell to yourself. The hardest Honesty is being honest about yourself. The psalmist prays to God in Psalm 51. You desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. If you're being honest with yourself this morning, you realize that you're a liar. And so am I. That's our heart. We have within us this tendency to be dishonest, to fudge on the truth, as we say, to tell little inaccuracies as we console ourselves about. But we all have this proclivity. Romans 3 confirms this for us. There is not one righteous. There's not one who understands. There's not one who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is not one who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is in their lips. And Revelation 21:8 makes it clear that because you and I are liars, we deserve eternal punishment. Revelation 22:15 says, all those who practice a lie will be shut out from God's kingdom. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. Are you telling me that I deserve eternal punishment just because I've told a few lies? I'm not telling you that. That's what God's word says. That we are deserving of punishment because we are liars and thieves and adulterers and probably everything else in the Ten Commandments. But we referred earlier to John 8. The truth that sets us free is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ took the punishment that you and I deserve because we are liars. And the only way that we can approach God, both for now and for all eternity, is to come through Jesus Christ. The one who not only tells truth, but is truth. We must hide ourselves in Him, the one who has paid the penalty. And that is the gospel this morning, my friend. Have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time when you have come to your own recognition of your own inadequacy? You cannot earn favor with God, that you must turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must embrace through repentance and faith what Jesus Christ has done. If not, this morning can be the day that you do that. Those of you who have embraced the gospel, you have become a Christian. Ephesians tells us to put off lying and put on truth. Follow me as we are invisibly following a young man named Chris. Here's a day in the life of Chris, the Christian businessman. Oh, sorry, I'm late. I got stuck in traffic, Chris says as he rushes into the boardroom. Now, he knows that there really wasn't any more traffic on the turnpike than there normally is, but that's his favorite excuse when he gets out of the house late. He pours himself a cup of coffee before he sits down with the other executives to discuss their proposal for opening a new store. Dave and I have been working really hard on gathering this data for this new location. In reality, Dave, Chris's assistant, has done the lion's share of the work. But hey, Dave isn't in the room and nobody knows the difference. Chris goes on to give selected sales figures from the last 10 years. Conveniently, he leaves out the figures from 3 years ago when the store on the east side wasn't doing very well. I mean, he's proposing another store on the east side of town, and this information wouldn't really help his cause. Chris ducks into his office after the meeting to call his wife. Hey, if anybody calls, tell them I'm out, he says to his secretary before he goes into his office. While he's on the phone with his wife, she tells him that their Sunday school teacher called to check on them since they had missed church Sunday morning. I told them the kids were sick, she says. Chris hardly gives it a second thought. despite the truth that they went out on the boat with their in-laws on Sunday. Later that day, Chris instructs his advertising assistant to begin work on an ad campaign, touting his store as having the biggest selection of ball caps in the area, even though there are two, maybe three other stores that he knows has a bigger selection. But hey, it's effective advertising. It's Wednesday. Chris always tries to make the midweek service when he can. He slips in the back as the service is starting, just in time to hear the song leader say, "Let's stand to sing hymn number 158, I Would Be True." Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor. We first put off through repentance, acknowledging what God has said about our sin and turning from it. Perhaps this morning you need to be reminded of this truth. You need to seek the forgiveness of God and then seek the forgiveness of the one to whom you lied. And then you need to ask for God's help in speaking the truth. As the psalmist says in Psalm 141:3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Because God is supreme truth, we must tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Let's bow before the Lord. In just a moment, I'm going to conclude in prayer, but first I want to just have an opportunity for you to respond to God in the quietness of this moment. Whenever we approach God's word, we always must respond. So I'm going to give you just a few moments to seek the Lord's face, to ask his forgiveness, repentance for where you have failed in this area, and ask for his strength in getting those things resolved with him and with others, and then establishing a habit of speaking the truth. Lord, set a guard over our mouths. Keep watch over the doors of our lips. Amen. Let me remind you of a couple quick announcements, and then we will be dismissed.